What is it?
Don't you play any of that heavy metal music tonight, Mr. Sovereign. I don't know what happened to you, but you used to be such a good conservative boy.
Whatever you say, Mrs., you should mind your own goddamn business.
What did you call me, young man?
Oh, nothing. Good night. Tell me what to listen to. Try this.
Come on!
Bringing his hard-hitting attitude and journalism to hard rock and heavy metal. Get ready to get rocked, hard, and fast. By the podcast champion, the man of tomorrow, Dragonaut One, Brian Sovereign, on the Hard and Fast podcast. And now, here's Brian.
Woo, you wanted the best, you got the best, baby. And we talking about Kiss? No, we're actually talking about me. No? Actually? We're talking about Kiss. Okay. Let's do this. I just got the notes. Woo! Dragonaut One, Dr. Brian Sovereign here with you for a hard and fast podcast, baby. And boy, it's been a little while since I've done one of these, but I think it's well timed to bring it back. And I'm bringing it back for a few reasons. One of them is I feel like metal is where some of the few good things in life are actually happening as compared to the rest of the world, or the rest of the news world, as it were. And certainly, as far as entertainment goes, fucking A. You know, unless you've seen Godzilla Minus One, which I did ahead of everybody else on a Wednesday pre-show premiere. Boy, that was phenomenal. You might have heard more of it in the Sovereign Technica Patreon on a Wednesday Q&A there. I recorded it on a Thursday, talked about it right the day after, well ahead of everybody else getting on the bandwagon, and made sure that patrons knew this was the movie to see. And some patrons responded and said, Stallion, you are absolutely right. So the Golden Stallion, anyway, is here to talk about some other entertainment, some other juggernauts, as it were. In fact, Godzilla being fitting, because for the very last time, on the weekend of December 1st and December 2nd, 2023, in New York City, Kiss, or should we say particularly in reference to Godzilla, Gene Simmons laced up his Godzilla boots one last time. Actually, I don't know if he laces those up. But I don't know if they just slip on. I don't know. Regardless, Kiss has performed. Yes, the supposedlies are being shouted at the earphones and radios, I'm sure, right now. Has performed, supposedly, I'll give you it, their last show, their last concert. And again, it was a two-night affair, a two-night special. And, you know, it's the end of their End of the Road tour, which had a slight delay due to, well... We can all know why from 2020, but regardless, and this is a show. Well, so Mrs. Sovereign and I, we went and we saw them at more on the starting leg of the End of the Road tour. This would have been 2019, which is amazing that that's 4 years ago, but we saw them in Philadelphia. And I think I reviewed the concert either on actually a previous Hard and Fast podcast, or it was on Sovereign Tech, or, you know, one of the many shows that I do. And I mean, it was amazing. Like it was awesome. Truly, truly awesome. Clearly, like they just still had the energy. They still had it going on. Paul Stanley is flying across the crowd to the, you know, to like a secondary stage. I mean, just all kinds of wild shit is going on. The pyro and the LCD screens everywhere. I mean, it was just boom, boom, boom. And of course, the music is great. And they even, you know, to their credit, I really felt they did represent most of their career. Okay. Like maybe they didn't play Shandy, you know, off of Unmasked, but or maybe they did. No, I don't think they did, but it's been some years, but they went through, they did a lot of their 80s stuff, which for me, as a Kiss fan. I'm in the rarer breed of Kiss fan where I actually like their 80s and 90s work more than I like their 70s. But, you know, they performed those, and also they even did a song off of Sonic Boom, which was an album that came out of amazingly. What was that, 2013 when that came out? And it was a huge hit. Huge hit. Or no, that wouldn't have been 2013. Maybe it was Monster that came out in 2013. Sonic Boom, I want to say, came out in like, maybe it was 06? Anyway. Actually, I guess it was 09. And then Monster, because I know Monster came out 3 years later. So that must have been 09 because Monster is actually 2012. Anyway. You know, it's just great to see such a genuine retrospective as to where a lot of bands, and certainly bands that have been around for 50 years, which this does mark their 50 years, you know, being in 2023, more or less starting in 1973, you know, with their first album coming out in 74. Anyway, most bands with this kind of pedigree, and also certainly if, and what band does, you know, with that many, as many hits as Kiss has, and they really have so many, as far as ones that actually charted, I mean, yeah, maybe not everything was number one like Beth, but there's so many, you know, recognized hits. You know, they'd feel no need, you know, to make or to perform newer songs. I mean, it's a miracle, honestly, that they even made those two albums in the aughts, right? That they even made Sonic Boom and Monster. And for both of them, certainly Sonic Boom gets more recognition than Monster. But, you know, for both of them, in my opinion, to actually be great albums is twice as remarkable. But whatever. Okay. Do I wish they made more? Sure. Are they going to make more albums after this, now that they are off the road? Is Kiss done? Well, that's actually what we're here to talk about. And enough of the preamble. Let's get into it. We are here to talk about what they announced on December 2nd after their last performance. Okay. And again, will there be new albums? Well, we'll kind of get into if I think that's going to end up being a reality or not. What ended up getting announced has gotten, let's be clear, it's gotten a lot of derision, a lot of heat, a lot of just overall negativity. I've barely seen anyone be positive about this that isn't actually involved with the production itself. So what this is, I think, technically called, you know, and I haven't exactly seen the press release, but, you know, I am a diehard Kiss fan. I kind of want to spend the time on that of explaining, you know, where my standing is, as it were, with Kiss, but we don't need to go there. I think people who've listened to Sovereign Tech and my other shows over the many years, over a decade, not 50 years like Kiss, but I'm open to it. Know very well that Kiss is my favorite band of all time. You know, like that's life. And when I say that's life, I don't just necessarily mean that as like deal with it. I mean, it's my life. Okay. Not to quote Bon Jovi, but, you know, this is yes. So I guess bringing that up is important because as we're about to discuss what is called a new era, I am definitely coming from the perspective and the bias, and I can admit to my own bias because I'm intellectually honest, that as far as, you know, Kiss the product, okay, the band, the music, the product, and product is important to bring up because, again, they have been in movies, they have multiple comic book series over the decades, multiple video games, okay, I mean, this is... I'm just to say nothing of action figures and cartoons that they've been in, like with Scooby-Doo and all of this. You know, I mean, I'm just briefly listing things off. And I hope that you recognize, even just in what I briefly listed off, that this is far more than just a band. Okay. So the rules of, you know, of a band don't necessarily apply to them the same way it does perhaps to other bands in matters of good taste. Regardless, I recognize my bias in this because I basically feel, again, with Kiss the product, there can, I mean, I kind of feel like they can do no wrong. Granted, you know, they can do wrong, but they have to go really, really far out for me to not like something that Kiss does. Okay. So I recognize that bias. That said, you know, I'm talking about Kiss the product. Do I think Gene Simmons can do no wrong? No, that's not true. Do I think Paul Stanley can do no wrong? No, that's not true. Both of those guys, I don't really agree with politically. Okay. But as far as everything in reference to Kiss, yeah, I admit it. I kind of have that opinion. So I want to bring up that bias. Okay. But I also think, and it's important for me to bring up this bias, because a lot of people who have negativity towards this A New Era announcement for Kiss, I think also have biases that need to be explored. Okay. Biases perhaps, and we're going to talk about this as well, how, you know, Ace Frehley and Peter Criss have been treated by Gene and Paul over the decades. Biases as far as they don't like hair metal. Biases as far as they don't, you know, whatever. Like, it's important. There's nothing wrong. This is really key. There's really nothing wrong with having a bias, because oftentimes a bias is just your personal tolerance and taste. The important thing is that you recognize it, and when necessary, you fucking bring it up that you have it. That's what matters. Having a biased view on things, there's nothing wrong with that. Is it important to be able to cultivate an objective view? Sure, that's good. That allows for empathy and understanding between individuals. But there's nothing wrong with having your own biases, your own tolerances and tastes. Okay, so what is this new era for KISS? So they announced, the way I understand that these events unfolded, they announced that the touring of the band KISS in person, live action, right, was done. There was going to be no more of that. But what is going to happen is they're working with ILM. That's right, that ILM, as in Industrial Light and Magic, as in Star Wars, and, you know, a lot of the effects for great films over the, you know, since almost the same amount of time, past 50 years. That they were going to be doing, and it's, here's the sad thing. Like, it's somewhat unclear of what's going on here, of what this is actually going to take shape as. Basically, they created digital avatars of themselves using all the technology that you've seen. I mean, like, they're in the volume for it. So it sounds like it's just going to be kind of not a movie per se, probably something more. Maybe it's going to involve holograms, like, you know, the Ronnie James Dio hologram tour that was done a few years ago, you know, and so on. It's debatable what exactly is going to happen here. And it's not like, I mean, Paul and Gene and Tommy Thayer and, you know, and Eric Singer, they're not touring. As far as I can see it, they're not actually going out there and performing live. Basically, they have these digital avatars, which are going to be them going forward. I have not seen any details if this includes voice synthesization, like, say, you know, with AI or something, where it, you know, it's mimicking Paul, or if they're going to get into a, you know, a voice recording studio and they're still going to do that. Like, there's not a whole ton of clarity on it, but the basic idea is that they used all of the latest, you know, digital / CGI technologies, right? That are used for, you know, motion capture, that are used for making movies and everything. They did all of that, spent the big money, it would appear. I mean, ILM is not cheap. And, you know, turned themselves into these digital avatars. Beyond that, we don't exactly know how this is going to take shape. Now, smart money, which Gene would be smart money, might be thinking, let's see how people react to the initial announcement before we tell them much more of what the fuck this means. Okay. Now, they have done, it's like a 35-minute or so documentary. I, of course, watched it, where they're, Gene and Paul are in the volume being the technology, the you know, it's this display technology that's used for a lot of Star Wars shows, but now a lot of movies and shows are using it, where it simulates the CGI planet, say, around you. And so the actors have something to work against. This is a very interesting new technology in cinematic special effects. And You know, so in the interview, they're sitting in that, which I think, again, might hint at what this is going to be like. Like, maybe, in fact, you know what? Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the key, is what a new era is going to be, is it'll be a traveling volume, and they'll set up the volume in, you know, all the, like, this 360 degree surrounding screen so that there's not a bad seat in the house. Right. And Kiss will play around on that. Maybe it won't be holograms. Maybe it'll just be the volume. Who knows? Anyway, they're sitting for this interview and they're hanging out with a few guys from ILM, and they're, you know, talking about what all this means, the work that was done and everything. But again, even in that 35 minutes, they really don't say what the fuck this is going to be. Okay. Now, most people's, and you can go to kissonline.com if you want to see all of that. Like, it's not, you don't necessarily need special access to all this stuff, though it does ask you for your email address to be able to view this shit. Interestingly, when you do give them your email address, of course, they're going to sell that off. I mean, come on. Making money is what these guys do. And so, you know, so you put in your email address, you'll get that. But then also, and I thought this is weird, and this is another part of the mystery. Like, what the fuck are they doing? What is the meaning of this? When I go to my Apple Wallet, scroll down. Like, it gives you a digital pass. Now, I've seen this with some stores. Like, there's some stores where, you know, shops online, whatever, where I get stuff. Like One Golden Thread is, one of my, you know, more favorite clothing, shops. They do really like sustainable, you know, they do wild shit anyway. Like they have a card that you can get that'll have a little QR code and like you get your points on it and everything. And you can add that to your Apple Wallet. Well, a new era, Kiss with a new era also has a digital pass, they call it. And all it is just a little thing with a QR code. I have no idea what that's going to get you in the future, but it's there. It just kind of adds to that. Anyway, you can sign up and you can get your own. I imagine it works with Google Wallet, but who knows these days? Is Google Wallet even still a thing? I'm not sure. You know, sometimes I wish Google was the government, because, you know, government laws and regulations never seem to go away, but Google products at least have a shelf life of about 5 minutes. So, you know, if things would just go away in 5 minutes, that'd be wonderful. No, I'm an anarchist. I don't like government. Okay, keep going. Anyway, so a new era. Yeah, again, we don't really know what this is ultimately going to look like. I do recommend checking out that interview. There are some interesting things brought up. Because one of the things we do know it'll look like is we know what the digital avatars look like, at least in their present incarnation. Can these get, you know, can these even become more improved over time? Sure. I think they look fairly lifelike for what they are. I don't think they're meant to look exactly lifelike, but we've certainly come amazingly even a long way from Dr. Aki Ross from Final Fantasy The Spirits Within, which at one point was the most lifelike we've ever seen a digital, character. Phenomenal movie, by the way, completely underrated. So what we do know about how they look is, okay, you know, there, it's them with the makeup on. Fine. Would I love it if in the future they did a non-makeup version? Yeah, that'd be awesome. But whatever, we got what we got. So, it's them with the makeup on, you know, Paul Stanley as the Star Child, Gene Simmons as the Demon. Here's where, you know, Eric Singer as, you know, the Catman. Okay, maybe some people are like, all right, fine. Eric Singer's been with the band since the 90s. You know, after tragically Eric Carr died at a very young age. But then where maybe people, you know, some people might be a little more accepting of Eric Singer because he's been, you know, been with them for so long. But then where people might fall apart even a little bit more would be that it's Tommy Thayer as the Spaceman. You know, as the Space Ace. And, you know, it's not Ace Frehley. And for the Cat, it's not Peter Criss. This is where I think a lot of people get pissed off, including people that I, you know, have a modicum of respect for. I like Eddie Trunk. I listen to his show all the time. I haven't listened to his response to this, but I imagine he's probably pretty pissed off because he's always been mad. Forget about it being digital avatars. He's never liked the fact that, you know, Tommy Thayer and Eric Singer, not that he thinks they're bad musicians, quite the opposite, But he's never liked the fact that they put on the original makeup, you know, of the cat and the cat and the spaceman. And I kind of understand where he's coming from with that. It's going to speak to a point here in a minute. Do I wish that, you know, they had, it was a different character, you know, or that they were different characters, kind of like what they were doing with, you know, Eric Carr and, even with, you know, Vinnie Vincent being the wizard, having the Ankh on his head and everything. And, you know, Eric Carr was the fox. Yeah, I mean, sure. Would I have preferred them have gone that way as well? Yeah. I actually kind of wondered if it wasn't going to go that way. And one of the key pieces of evidence, or, you know, that it would eventually go that way. In fact, let me get into, I want to get into this a little bit, and then we'll talk more about, okay, wait a minute, it's Tommy Thayer and whatever, and people's response to that. There is a movie that came out a few years ago, and I mean, maybe 5-6 years ago, that direct to DVD, unfortunately. Well, no, I love direct to video, but anyway, it was Scooby-Doo meets Kiss, you know, and Scooby-Doo and Kiss together. At the end of this movie, and I talked about this on Sovereign Tech years ago, at the end of this, it was a good movie. At the end, I mean, it's Scooby-Doo, so, you know, understand it for what it is, but it was still good. At the end of the movie, Kiss, you know, like, they bring in these other, like, seemingly Kiss members from kind of another dimension or something, and they're all these wild characters, you know? It's not just everybody looking like the star, like a bunch of characters looking like Star Child, and then there's a bunch like the Demon or whatever. No, these had all different looks to them. And so, you know, it kind of, to me, it sort of hinted at the idea that maybe they were thinking about bringing in, you know, other types of characters, and that eventually, you know, Kiss, we've always known that Kiss was going to get superseded by some new version of the band. We just didn't know exactly what that would look like. But I think a lot of people originally thought that, well, they'll do what other bands have done that have been around this long, and they'll just bring in other members, right? And maybe they would even not be the Star Child anymore, or they wouldn't be the Demon anymore, and whatever. And, you know, it would be, you know, like I said, like what they did with Eric Carr and Vinnie Vincent back in the 80s. But that doesn't seem to be the case right now. It doesn't mean they still can't do it. This could still happen years from now. Regardless, okay? The funny thing is, as much as I thought, you know, maybe the Scooby-Doo movie was kind of pointing at that, oh, this is coming, this is going to happen, and we'll bring up the Scooby-Doo movie again a little later, on my first fictional episode that I ever did of Sovereign Tech, this was literally 10 years ago. This is back in 2013. It was called Sovereign Tech 2099, famous episode. At the end of that, I actually, because, you know, it was called 2099 because I was pretending that I was in the year 2099, or was I? Anyway, okay. So sometimes I wonder, because shit that I said in that keeps coming true. In that episode, at the end of it, for the climax, for the pick of the week, it was called the climax by that point. I talked about that there was a Kiss 2 and a Kiss 3, and that Kiss, you know, that Kiss 3 was actually like a digital version of the band, a digital, like, holographic version of the band. And so I just think it's funny that my prediction many years before the technology was really ready for this, that, you know, Kiss would become digital representations of themselves, ended up becoming very true. So that's funny. Could there still be a replacement band, replacement members in the flesh in the future? Yeah, I still think that it's not just highly likely. I'm fairly certain that's going to end up happening at some point, because there's a trend of there's a certain train of thought that I think is going to occur here. So I'm going to lay out some predictions, but also, again, I want to really debunk a lot of the negativity around this, and I think the negativity is coming from people that just, there's things they don't want to admit. There's things they know, or whether consciously or unconsciously, but I think consciously, that they don't want to say out loud because it's going to make fun of their audience. But okay. So all that said, let's get back to the conversation of, wait a minute, why, if they're just digital versions anyway, why not do, you know, have it be a digital version of Ace Frehley and a digital version of Peter Criss. You know, like, why not do that if it doesn't really matter? Well, here's the thing, okay? I mean, I think Ace Frehley, Peter Criss might, and I say this with respect to Peter Criss, okay? Peter Criss might not have physically been able to do what it took to make these digital avatars. I don't think Ace Frehley would have had that problem because Ace Frehley regularly tours. Peter Criss, I'm not so sure. I know his health has been questionable over well, a long time. Again, I mean everything I'm about to say, I mean no disrespect to either of those guys. I really don't. I know it's going to sound like it, but I really don't. Especially Ace. Ace is a super talented guy. I listen to his new albums. I love his new albums. Would I go see him in concert? You bet your goddamned ass. Absolutely, yes, I would. Okay. And as I understand it, he gets pretty good turnouts at his concerts, and he gets to open up for some big acts often enough. And, you know, he is without a doubt, one of the greatest guitarists to ever pick up the instrument. Without a doubt, no argument from me on that whatsoever. Okay. Is he my favorite guitarist? No. Do I think he's the best guitarist Kiss has ever had? No. Sorry. That honor goes to Bruce Kulick. You know, and maybe Mark St. John would have done the deed if he didn't have, tragic health conditions right when they were going to tour Animal Eyes in the early 80s. But here's the deal. The reason that they are not using, I mean, let's just be honest. The reason that they're not using, okay, there's multiple reasons, but the main reason is to use Ace Frehley's likeness and voice. Again, we don't know how the voice thing's going to work just yet. And to use Peter Criss's likeness and voice would have cost, who knows what, you know, exactly what they would ask for their likeness to be used in perpetuity. Okay. So there's a financial aspect to this. Sure. A lot of people complained about the last two shows, particularly for the End of the Road tour. Why didn't they bring out, like, wouldn't it have been nice if they brought out, you know, Peter Criss and Ace Frehley, or at least Ace or whatever, to be on the stage. I mean, and let's be clear here. You know, it's, I don't know what the relationship is between the four of them. But you know, on Ace, some of Ace's later album or recent albums, I should say, like, Paul Stanley's worked with him on those, you know, so there can't be complete animosity going on there. I mean, like, it's interesting. I don't know. Okay. Those are things. As much as I follow the rock world, those are things that I'm just not privy to. Okay. So, you know, for them to show up on the End of the Road tour, that would have cost money. And this is something we do have somewhat of a response for. Okay. Ace Frehley was interviewed. Ace Frehley was asked, And I think this was in reference to, I don't know if it was in reference to A New Era or if it was reference to the End of the Road. It doesn't matter, because the point will remain the same. And this is my point. He said emphatically, Ace Frehley said emphatically, he wouldn't do anything with those guys, that being Kiss, for a penny less than $500,000. Okay. So that's. You know, Ace Frehley feels like he knows what he's worth, and so he asks what he's worth. Okay, I can respect that. Believe me, I really can respect it. Are there people out there who think that Ace Frehley's attendance and performance is worth that money, is worth, you know, a distributed $500,000? I'm sure there are. I am not one of them. Okay. This is where, you know, it sounds like I'm going to be harsh. I'm not being harsh here. I'm just saying straight up, Ace Frehley, the musician, the person, has immeasurable value. Okay. The musician is not worth $500,000. His appearance as a digital avatar ain't worth that much either. Same is true for Peter Criss. Well, I don't have no idea what Peter Criss would have been asking, you know, to make an appearance or to be a part of this or whatever, but they ain't worth that money. Like, that's just the reality. They're not. And to be fair, I don't think Tommy Thayer's worth that money. So, like that, that's the thing is that, I mean, okay, it's one thing if Ace said, yeah, look, $25K, I'll come up on stage, play a couple songs and move on. Right. Okay. Sure. But if you're going to say, no, $500,000 or I'm not there. Well, you're not there. You're not worth that. You know, as much respect as I have for Peter, as much respect as I have for Ace. And like I said, I still listen to his music all the time. I buy his new albums when they come out. I am not against Ace Frehley. I am just saying, Daddy, you're not worth $500K. So no, I don't expect him to be there. And, you know, if I was in a room and there and, you know, and Paul and Gene were talking about doing this new era thing, you know, digital avatars. And, you know, I would have instantly said, well, don't bother asking Ace because this is, it would just be stupid. Okay. Now on the subject of things being stupid, here's where I don't have any respect. Okay. Cause look, regardless of what I think of, you know, was there a time where Ace could have been worth $500K? Yeah, totally. Same with Peter. But that hasn't been true for a very long time. Okay? So, you know, but I mean, I want to respect them for, hey, they've climbed the mountain. Most people haven't. And seriously, hats off to you. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Okay? But like I said, on the subject of things being stupid, the reason that this doesn't really matter, I mean, people will pretend that it matters, I guess, for a little while. And there are some, you know, quote unquote influencers in the, you know, hard rock and metal space who have their opinions. Like I said, most of them have been negative. Okay. But let's get into the real elephant in the room. By the way, one last comment I want to make. It's not like Gene and Paul ignored the conversation around Ace and Peter. They actually did discuss them in and fairly respectfully in that documentary or that 34-minute, you know, ILM documentary that I mentioned. So just, you know, even though it didn't come up during the concert, they're not really hiding from it. So they did bring that up. And, you know, Paul justified it like, hey, you know, when is a person a member of the band? Tommy's been playing with us for over 20 years. Eric, you know, Eric Singer has been playing with us for over 30. Like, you know, I think that makes them part of the band. And point taken. Okay. Again, most people have a problem with the makeup. So, and this is, again, gets into where things get, or, you know, talking about things that are stupid. All right. Look, I am somebody, okay, as far as my metal pedigree, first off, yes, I've been on a metal album, you know, as in one from a large record company. Okay. Second off, I mean, that one's not important, but whatever. Second off, I go, you know, Mrs. Sovereign and I, especially, like, we go to so many fucking concerts, so many metal concerts. I mean, we go to some other concerts too, but, you know, the predominant musical style that we go to see in concert is metal or hard rock. And for myself, I mean, that's mostly what I've seen, you know, and I've been going to concerts since the early 90s. Pantera was my first show when Pantera, Pantera was the headlining act, Anthrax and Lacuna Coil at the time. It's hard to believe they've been around that long. But Lacuna Coil and Anthrax opened up for them. Phenomenal fucking concert. I mean, just mind blowing shit. But that was my, you know, that was my first concert. Or first metal concert anyway. And, you know, even that, this is the point I want to get to. Most people, so I'm trying to tell you, like, look, it's not like I've just been to one to two concerts and I'm basing this opinion on that. No, I've been to so many fucking concerts. It's very difficult for me to actually remember them all. Okay. Like when concert season hits, it seems sometimes like it's almost every other weekend or every weekend or sometimes more than that, that I'm seeing concerts. Dead serious. There have been times where Mrs. Sovereign and I have gone to concerts, like one right after the other, like one night after the other. Okay. So here's what I can tell you about the people. And am I going to psychologize a bit? You bet your ass. what I can tell you about the people that go to concerts. Those people, most, this isn't true for all, by no means. Okay, because we're not, you know, I'm not like this, and Mrs. Sovereign is not like this. But most people that attend these concerts, why are they attending these concerts? They are doing so to get drunk? Yes. To do drugs? Probably. More importantly, they are trying to recreate and relive their younger years. That is why these people go to these concerts for bands that have been around for 50 years. Okay, or even less than that. Because I'm sure that's true for like Slipknot and others too, right? That's why people go there. Like, they're trying to relive a certain something. And they're going to go get ridiculous, or overall, they're just depressed with how their life is. I mean, you can go to these concerts for multiple reasons. I go there to celebrate the present, to celebrate my life, you know, and to celebrate, if I was to coin a term from some other thinkers, you know, to harness some eros, you know, like, I mean, it is about the now for me. For other people, though, it's about 40 years ago. It's about 30 years, 50 years ago. And whatever that feeling is that they had, or they thought they had at the time, if they could even really remember. This is why people go to these shows. Most of these people, they couldn't, if a band that they're seeing has new band members, they probably couldn't tell you who they were. In fact, it's even debatable if they could tell you who the band members, the original band members even were. They don't have any fucking idea. All they know is that they heard these songs 40 years ago, a lot on the radio, and they did whatever dumbass shit they did at the time when they heard these songs, or when these songs were the soundtrack of, say, American culture or whatever culture you happen to be a part of around the world. That's what these people go there for. They just don't give a shit about who's really playing the instruments. Most people. Are there the hardcore fans there, like myself, who, you know, still listen to every album when they come out, listen to every fucking song, know all the deep cuts, can like sing every lyric, and, you know every nitty gritty thing about the band and all that stuff? Are those people there as well? Yes, of course they are. I'm one of them. But most people are not that. Okay? All right. I don't think there's much disagreement on this. I'm psychologizing, sure, but I think most people would say I'm right. So with that said, okay, and that's kind of the thing that I mentioned earlier, that I think a lot of, you know, musicians and commentators and, you know, people in the rock world don't really want to admit that that's what's going on, because, yeah, it makes a lot of those people just look fucking pathetic and dumb, right? Because they're just, instead of like trying to live an amazing life right now, they're just trying to really relive some kind of ridiculous glory years, you know? Anyway, so those people, in fact, maybe that's what we'll call them. We'll call them the glory years people. Okay. The GYP, they, like I said, don't care who's up on stage. They are looking for the sonic and visual cues, right, to bring them back to that time. And so the question becomes like, wait, why is Tommy Thayer wearing the you know, spaceman makeup and outfit? Why is Eric Singer, you know, wearing the cat makeup and outfit? It's because people don't have any goddamned idea, okay, like who those people are. And they don't care, right? And they didn't even care when Kiss took the makeup off to where they could even possibly see the person's face, because apparently the 80s albums suck, which just isn't fucking true, you fucking morons. Okay. So all they want to see, they just want to see the makeup. They don't care who's wearing it. They just want to see the makeup. And so that's why they did that. You know, and Gene and Paul knew this, that most of the people that show up at their shows are just trying to relive the fucking 70s. Okay. And not actually live their lives. I mean, okay, I don't want to get into a long conversation around reliving things, recreating things. There's certainly some degree of value in that, but that's something you do with your entire life, not something you do on just one weekend, right? It's a very complex subject that, again, is beyond the purview of what we're getting into here. Point stands. So, you know, as far as like this whole digital avatar thing, it kind of speaks to the point. You know, again, I don't think anybody really cares who is being digitally represented. They don't care that it's Eric Singer. They don't care that it's Tommy Thayer. They probably don't even know their fucking names. Okay. All they want to see are, you know, they want to see the spaceman. They want to see the cat. They want to see the makeup that they've known for however long. Okay. That has genuinely become iconic, like literally icons, you know, as in icons you can put on merchandise. So that's all they care about. All right. And these same people, honestly, like, are they going to go see a digital avatar version of this band? Absolutely yes. Because, oh, are they using backing tracks? Is there a real band there? Is there this and that? They don't care, man. They don't care. They're just there to get wasted and to pretend to relive, you know, again, their glory years. These GYPs, that's all they want. They don't care. They're never going to care. Now, the question becomes, would I go see Kiss, you know, in a new era, you know, as just digital avatars? Would I pay a premium concert price for that? Yes, absolutely. I would. Absolutely. Would I do it more than once? Totally. Even though right now I don't, I mean, unless I find out that their implementation is pure shit, but like, look, you bring in ILM. I mean, when you're bringing in the best in the business, it's kind of hard to believe that from a special effects standpoint that this is, or from a effect standpoint overall, that this is going to suck. It's really hard to believe that. Maybe. And if it did, I'll be the first one to come out and say that it sucked like that. Okay, no, they need to refine this. They need to do something else. But even if the first one sucks, they're going to rethink it. You know, they're not going to let all this money fall on the, you know, fall off the table. Okay. As it were. Yeah. Now, why am I going to go see it? Well, I'll tell you why. And this is the part that bothers me, because even these people, all right, even these GYPs, every single one of these people, do you want to know one of the most, especially those that grew up in the 70s, and hell, I didn't even grow up in the 70s, and this is still one of the most exciting fucking things for me. You want to know one of the most exciting fucking things for these people was, it was in the late 70s when a movie was made called Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. It was supposed to be like Kiss in Star Wars. You know, I mean, it wasn't actually Star Wars, but you get my point. That was how it was kind of billed. Did it turn out that way? No. Is it a good movie? Nah. But that doesn't matter, because Kiss fans, especially in the 70s, ate the shit up and just loved it to death and watch it. And to this day, they still watch it all the time. There's entire restoration attempts. I mean, Kiss wants that movie fucking dead. You know, it could have been remastered and re-released a million times over. It never happened because they want to pretend it never did. Okay. And again, you know, they've talked about it at times and they basically say, no, this sucks. We don't want this out there. I still think it should be. Maybe one day it will. But the bottom line being is, I mean, and when I was a kid, I still enjoyed it and I still watch it to this day, but I recognize it for what it is. This isn't Masterpiece Theater by any stretch. Okay. But here is the abstract point to that. And this is just as true for the comic books, right? When Marvel came out with their comic with their issue number one of Kiss, after Kiss already appeared in the Howard the Duck comic. Okay. And that did gangbusters. And, you know, there was the big controversy around, oh, they actually put, you know, the Kiss members actually put their blood in the ink of the comic book. Whether that's true or not is up to debate, but regardless. Okay. That was one of I think that was the best-selling comic for probably a decade straight. That was the best-selling comic in history. Someone might want to check me on that, but it did gangbusters regardless. It was huge. Okay? The abstract point to this, both the fervor around Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park, regardless if it's a good movie or not, that's not what matters. What matters is, do people want that? Yes. Do people want the comic books? Clearly. You know, I mean, like, people wanted this. They wanted Kiss to be more than the band. They wanted to see Kiss being the quote-unquote superheroes, the supernatural, okay, the bigger than life, right? That's what they wanted Kiss to be. Now, this is the part that I don't get. If you can, this includes the likes of Eddie Trunk and others. If you were into that in the 70s, oh, they're just kids. No, no, no. If you were into that in the 70s and it was part of your Kiss fandom, and now they're going to go out there and, for all intents and purposes, put on a big, you know, movie production at the very least with these digital avatars. Again, we don't know what exactly it's going to be, but I'm sure in some form or fashion, it's going to be a movie and you're going to have that. What the fuck are you complaining about? Did you want a Kiss movie in the 70s or didn't you? I guarantee you, everyone you ask about Kiss would say yes. Did you love that they were these like action heroes in these comic books? The answer I'm sure for most people is yes. Did a bunch of people buy the fuck out of, you know, Todd McFarlane's Psycho Circus Kiss run? What was that on? Was it Dark Horse that did that, or was it Image? Anyway, you know, there's a comic book in the 90s for Psycho Circus. That comic book went for, I think, over 2 years. That's a good run for a comic, especially at that time. I mean, it's not a great run, but it's a damn good run. People want this. They expect, part of why they go to a Kiss show is they are expecting the larger than life. And this is really a logical way to give you that. And again, I don't get it. I don't get it. Did you want a Kiss movie or didn't you? This is effectively what you're getting. So this argument that, oh, this is such a money grab, this is a blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, it fucking is. And what, you know, you think people don't want to go to, what if it just shows up in theaters? What, you think people don't want to go see their favorite artists do whatever the fuck they do in theaters? I'm sorry, as much as I can't stand this wench, like, is Taylor Swift doing insane numbers with her Eras tour in theaters? Yes. Are the streams going crazy on Apple TV Plus right now for that damn thing? You know, that being Taylor Swift's Eras tour? Yes, right now. Would Kiss want to get in on that? Yes, why the fuck not? Nobody fucking complained about Metallica, you know, putting their concerts in theaters, right? Which they have done recently. Nobody's complaining about. Why the goddamn hell not? I am baffled. Okay? And look, Kiss is not, like, they're being honest about this. It's, yes, they're saying it's the continuation of the band. Okay? Honestly, though, in some ways, I think this is actually better than bringing in completely new members. Because you're getting a digital representation under the control of the people who are, you know, the brainchilds of Kiss, that being Gene and Paul. Now, are you worried that this is a slippery slope, that in the future all bands are going to be regurgitated AI representations of themselves and everything? Is this part of that slippery slope? I mean, an argument could be made for sure that this is testing the waters on that. I'm open to that argument. I don't think that in general, a digital avatar can replace the real thing. Okay. Even though, you know, maybe, you know, somebody might want to make the argument, well, what's the difference between a digital avatar and a new singer that you bring on board, a new younger singer or a new younger guitar player? Well, the difference is the person you're seeing on stage, is human. And, you know, what you go to a live show is for, not necessarily the perfection, but for, you know, like the little things that happened by accident, or happy accidents, perhaps, as Bob Ross would say, you know, or, you know, to feel the energy from the other human being and all this. Okay. So, you know, I think there is a difference here, but again, that's for your everyday band. We're fucking talking about Kiss. Okay. Foreigner isn't making a movie, right? Blue Oyster Cult ain't making a movie. Go down the list of your band. In general, I mean, yeah, Motley Crue made a documentary, but I mean, a fictional film? No, none of these people are doing that. The only other person who could probably pull it, I mean, maybe Ozzy could pull it off, but really the only other person that could pull off kind of a fictional version of themselves would be, you know, would be Alice Cooper. I mean, yeah, Iron Maiden could make shit, you know, with whatever, Eddie and all that. Sure, there are bands who could make movies with, like, their kind of created, you know, characters that they have, like, you know, whatever, I forget the name of the character for Disturbed. Again, the rules are different. Okay. Ultimately with Kiss, this is not just a band at all. This is a perfectly, I don't even see where this is different. You know, where are all these people coming out? Oh, fuck. How dare Kiss be in a Scooby-Doo movie? You know, nobody was doing that. Right. But it's, I don't see where it's really that different. You know, like I said, Kiss is being honest that they're not, you know, this, it honest, at least in the sense that, yes, it's a new era. Like they're calling it a new era for the band, but they know it's not the live show and they're admitting, look, we just can't do it anymore. And so, but you know, we want to keep this going. We want to keep this message, as Gene would say, this message of self-empowerment, which I do think Kiss is all about, you know, out there. And, you know, why not? For those that want to see it, okay. You know, but again, the most important thing that people just, I don't understand why they don't grok this. The most important thing is, look, Kiss is not just like any other band. Yes, Kiss can get away with putting something in stadiums or theaters that does not include a live band being there. Again, we don't really know what shape this is going to take, but if this is going to be some kind of interactive movie experience, I have a hard time believing that Kiss fans wouldn't want that. Any Kiss fan at any point over the past 50 years that they wouldn't want that. That blows my fucking mind. Now, like I said, if your argument is, well, it should have been Peter and Ace. No, it shouldn't have. Because what those guys would have fucking negotiated for might have made this financially untenable for one. So no thanks. And also, like I said, they're not worth that. Like, be honest. You tell me. Okay, what? I mean, it's not like it hurt them at the shows. Those were, like, especially in New York City, you know, just a few days ago in 2023 here in December. I mean, those are packed houses. Peter, Peter and Ace, they didn't need to be there. It didn't change anything. It didn't change the outcome whatsoever. But like I said, you tell me that you would pay $500,000 to have Ace Frehley play. I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. So again, these are people who I think, you know, really have their own biases, where they're, you know, super obsessed with 70s Kiss, which, hey, I'm super obsessed with 80s Kiss, but I don't let that get in the way of appreciating everything else that they fucking do and did. Okay. And you know, people who have, they just have some kind of grudge. And a lot of times, honestly, I think that grudge is jealousy. I think they're all mad that they didn't think of, you know, the marketing deals and all this other stuff. And look, hey, like I said earlier, I'm an anarchist, man. Like I don't believe in intellectual property. I don't believe in fucking copyright law. I think that's all crap. Okay, and does more harm than good. You know, trademarking does more harm than good. So don't confuse me here, but I'm just playing it straight. Most bands are just jealous of what Kiss developed. I mean, yeah, I have different things I wish Kiss would do too. Like, sure, I don't even want it to be Tommy Thayer. I have nothing against Tommy Thayer, and I even liked his work before Kiss, like what he did with Black and Blue. A couple of those albums, especially the Gene Simmons produced ones, phenomenal. Love the gang vocals. Just top notch. Okay. You know, I mean, super sexy stuff. Anyway, yeah, I'd prefer that it was Bruce Kulick up there, you know, and hell, honestly, if we're doing digital versions, like, you know, I love Eric Singer too. I mean, he's been on my second favorite Kiss album of all time. That being Revenge, first being Asylum. He wasn't on that. But shit, man, like, why don't you get Eric Carr up there? And maybe some sweetheart deals had been made. That's the other part to get on this, folks, is that there could have been deals made where in the future, maybe Ace does show up, you know, and there are two spacemen. Maybe because, you know, once it's all a digital avatar, you know, there's no more rules, right? You can kind of do whatever you want. Like, it was awesome seeing the demon, you know, Gene Simmons is the demon kind of flying around and everything. That was so cool. That's the whole thing. When I watched the reveal trailer for this, I was like, that is so cool. That's all I could think. And again, I'm completely bothered. you know, Kiss was all about like being this larger than life band. And like I said, in Gene's own words, you know, the band has always been about self-empowerment. And really the fantastical. And I think you just have a lot of people out there who have lost their childlike sense of wonder, especially, well, I don't want to say all the glory years people, all the GYPs, that's necessarily them, though that's probably also true. They're trying to hold on to it, you know, by going to see these concerts. And like I said, these people just aren't going to care. Do they get to go somewhere and get wasted and maybe see some young gals, you know, or whatever? Yeah, sure. Yeah. You know, that's all they care about anyway. Yeah. You know, to not appreciate what we could get out of this blows my mind. And again, to say, oh, well, it's just another cash grab. I don't know. Pick your most underground artists. Are they going out there for fucking free? Of course, they're trying to make money. People are nuts. Like, the negative response to this is preposterous. And it's people that have just forgotten, you know, what the joy of being a fan, especially of this group, you know, of individuals that's more than just a band. So much more than a band. And maybe that's the other part too, is that, well, I mean, it still speaks to that lack of childlike wonder, because they don't allow, like, I mean, you could say, oh, this is so cheesy. You know, certainly I saw that argument get leveled, and it's like, well, yeah, but it's sincere. You know, it doesn't matter if it's cheesy. You know, and it's that you know, people oftentimes, I think people have a problem with cheesy because they have really, what they have a problem with is sincerity. And they are, I think deep down, they're ashamed that they can't unabashedly, unashamedly, you know, like appreciate something that is so out of this world, you know? It takes a little something special to pull that off. And it takes, I think, something special to be able to appreciate it. You know, I mean, I get it. Like, I've done cheesy work over the years with my podcast. I mean, just as an example, you know, most podcasters, I don't think, could do what I do. And I'm not, this isn't a pat on the back. It's just different. It's not better. It's just different. I'm just saying, you know, think of a podcaster. Okay. And then imagine them like being in a movie, suddenly being in a movie or being in some kind of like fictional production. And they're like this total badass or something like that in it. You might not buy it, right? Because everything else that they've done, you know, doesn't like lead in that direction or doesn't, for lack of a better phrase, make you think in that way. And, you know, this is why, like, this kind of thing, I don't think like a super depressing band could really pull this off, right? Even though there's a lot of masked bands out there now that might want to try this in the future. But anyway, but then, you know, picture me and suddenly, you know, you're just downloading a podcast and you turn play and you press play and suddenly you're hearing Agent Sovereign, you know, not Dr. Brian Sovereign, but Agent Brian Sovereign. And, you know, you're in for a ride. And and based upon all the feedback I've gotten over the years, anytime that I did fictional work, everybody's like, fuck yeah. You know, like they're buying it and they're on, and they love both the positive and negative reaction that it garners, especially the negative reaction from a lot of conservative assets and whatever. And, you know, and they get excited and you buy it. And that's because I'm sincere. Like, I'm doing it with, I know it's fiction, but I'm saying I do it with sincerity. And fortunately, there are so many of you out there, like my listeners, who also can appreciate sincerity in performance. And really, that's what I feel like we're getting here. Like, you can't, I mean, you could say, oh, you know, they believe their own hype, they do this. Well, yeah, well, that's kind of sincerity. It's not, you know, maybe it's not reality, but it's sincerity. Those can be two very different things. And that's what I feel like I've always gotten, particularly from Paul Stanley. I think Gene Simmons has always been straight up. So you get some sincerity there in a different way. And I think that's what they're bringing here. you know, regardless of how, if you think it's cheesy, if you think it's ridiculous, if you think it's a money grab, if you think it's this, blah, 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 blah. No, this is sincerity. And even more sincerity, especially with the fantastical elements. I mean, look, Gene Simmons has started his own comic book companies over the years, you know, because he wants to tell these stories. He's obsessed with this shit. And I love that. And, you know, to finally get that, to allow the fantastical and the band and the, you know, the very real music, the band Kiss, the very human music to come together, I think is a wonderful thing. Again, I'm just blown away by the negative reaction to this. I really am. And like I said, if it comes down to, well, but it's not Ace and Peter, so I don't care. You tell me that they're worth that. You tell me that they're worth at least the asking price that, say, Ace was going for. That they're worth the residuals. Or the royalties. No. I don't believe you. I don't believe you if you tell me that. Now, are Gene and Paul worth $500K? Yeah, completely. I mean, for many reasons. But, oh, anyway. So, okay. That's it for this Hard and Fast podcast. I didn't expect to really talk about this for a whole hour, but I think it needed to get discussed. And again, I was really bothered by the negative reaction out there that I just don't think holds up. Like, I don't think it makes sense. I think people are just showing, they're either showing their depression, their age, their cynicism on whatever, you know, like, or their biases. And they're not admitting that that's what's going on for them. And it's really, man, was that, I just didn't think it was cool. So someone had to come out and speak about this, and why not have it be Dragonaut One, Dr. Brian Sovereign. All right. I'll wrap this one up, and I will see all of you on the other side.